I just woke up. I DJed last night for the fourth time. I DJed last the weekend before, and then last on Friday, and then last night, and now I just woke up. I am all over the place. My apologies.
Oh my gosh.
How are you doing, honey? So thanks for being on the podcast. How are you too?
Oh, thank you.
Want to chat with us?
Yeah.
So exciting. So it's 10 o'clock in Santa Barbara now, or?
Yeah, it's 10 a.m. It's like 10:18. And I didn't get home till like midnight. And then I didn't really fall asleep until like 1, so it was just like,
Have you had any coffee? That's important.
Yeah. No, I don't drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee?
I don't drink. I've been drinking coffee since I was like a kid or something, so I was really young.
Wow. How come?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just all natural like that, I guess, you know? I don't know.
Natural energy pumping.
Yeah,
totally. And like, just give me a second and I will kick in and everything will be fine. But like, when I'm on tour and stuff, it is kind of like an inconvenience. Like, the rest of the band needs to get coffee and I'm just like, let's just go. Let's just drive to the next city. Like, I'm good. But then, you know, I realize that not everyone else is good and they all need coffee too. I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, we are like that. We have to have our coffee.
Really?
Yeah. You can't talk to me. I need a big, like, black espresso or, like, coffee.
Yeah.
Or two. Wake up. We work at a coffee shop
really?
here in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So we get a lot of coffee.
Yes.
Have you learned anything from working at this coffee shop that you're, like, that you use now in your normal coffee drinking life, like at home? Did you buy like a fancy French press or like anything like that?
No, I feel like I always drink it super simple, like hot water and a shot of espresso.
Yeah. Oh.
Never did the fancy like latte or cappuccino.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's the Swedish culture is just like big filter coffees, you know, tons of it. Refills, you know. I guess it's the same in America, right? You have the filter coffee with refill and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm very bad with coffee culture as I am. I am way out of it. But I have made coffee at jobs before. So, and every time I've made a coffee, it's just like, you know, a big sugar drink with some whipped cream and, you know, here's your coffee. That's my experience with it, at least, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's the same everywhere.
Simple is the best.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. So Swedish. You're from Sweden.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did we end up in London? How did you two meet? Let's start from the beginning.
Obviously, we didn't know each other from Sweden.
Oh, really?
Miranda's from the North Pole.
So Sweden is really long, you know, like, right. So I'm like from top of Sweden.
Yeah, very north of Sweden.
Very north of Sweden.
And I'm probably like 10 hours driving down from Miranda with a car. I'm center Sweden, but like the people from south of Sweden think that I am
north.
North.
They're like, oh, you up there in the north, you know?
And I'm like, that's not north. I mean, I guess we've both always been willing to like music and, you know, everything. And yeah, we both moved here 2014 because we wanted to study music.
Yeah.
And that's how we met for the first time.
Yeah, we were in the same class together.
Is there a music school that you went to?
London.
Yeah, what music school is it?
It's called the BIM, or then it was called Tech.
Tech Music School we started.
It's a lot of Swedish people going there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was just on my computer one night. Just like, oh, I really want to move to London. You know, that's a cool thing to do. I want to move away from this small little village that I'm from.
Yeah.
So I was just at home just searching like music schools, London. And then that's what came up. And I was like, okay, you can do 1 year. Pretty intense. I'm just going to go for it. And I applied and got approved and just took my bags and moved to London and been here since then.
And how old are you?
I'm 27. And
I'm 27 too. I'm turning 28 in September.
But when you made the move, how old are you when you made the move?
Then 20. Yeah, 20.
Wow. Was that freaky? Was it scary? How'd you feel making the big move from London to Sweden to London?
It was quite scary. Like, because I come like in such a small village.
Yeah, we're both from really small villages.
And like never really been to like a big city. Mm. Like I've been to Stockholm maybe once like before.
Yeah, but Stockholm is tiny.
It's tiny compared to London. Yeah, so it was really scary, but it was good to like start like going to the music school and get to know like other people and that were in the same situation as you. So you like got to know so many people straight away. So it felt a lot better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And were you playing music? Were you playing music in your village?
I mean, I had a few bands. I have all my friends were like musicians. I went to like a music school there as well, like in the city next to where I live. And I grew up with my, for example, my two best friends. They were living in the same village as me. And we always had like, one was playing piano, one was playing guitar. I was kind of singing. They were doing harmonies and playing around in the city. And then we all went to the school together, had shows and stuff. So there's quite a big music scene there as well.
Yeah. And what about you?
It wasn't really a big music scene where I grew up. When I went to like high school, I went to like a dancing high school. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really, like I've always been singing. But that's where like I did lots of dancing and musical theater and in this school. So that's mainly what I did at home.
Mm.
But yeah, I wasn't playing in any bands.
Okay. And what would you...
Mainly like...
And I'm just trying to understand the music dynamic here. Like, are you playing an instrument in this band, or do you just sing, or what's your role in the group?
Fahani, no. So we are mainly just singing. Like, that sort of thing. We haven't got a band together yet because we launched our project in the pandemic. So we haven't been able to take our project live yet, which we are really looking forward to when that is possible, which is probably hopefully quite soon. But we work with Isaac Shalem. You know, the guy from Silver Twin.
Yeah, that's been love on them. Here before. That's how I found out about you, is through Isaac.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's basically has been, you know, producing and helped co-writing with us.
Cool.
And he's the one playing all the instruments on the track.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes
he's super talented.
Makes a lot of sense now. Yeah. He's super talented. Yeah, no, he's so good.
We're really
I love
good friends with. Yeah, yeah. No, Silver Twin is the best. So I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are really good friends with Alicia and Isaac and the rest of the band as well.
Yeah.
How'd you meet them?
Really, really. We met them through studying.
Cool.
Yeah, we met Isaac first when we were studying. It was playing bass, and we'd always kept contact ever since. We were really good friends
at the same music school.
At the same music school.
Damn, that makes sense. Okay, so then starting this project during the pandemic, like, how were you guys just bored and were like, hey, we should do something, or were you already thinking about like we should start a band? Like, how'd that happen?
So, I mean, already when we were studying together, we had like, we were constantly singing together and did all the projects for school together and stuff. And we got a lot of comments about how nice our voices sounded together, what a great blend we have.
Yeah.
And we said like, oh, we should do something about it.
Yeah.
Like, start writing music or start a vocal group or like something to do with music together.
Yeah. But then we kind of
drifted apart a little bit.
Yeah, so we didn't really hang out that much for a few years.
Yeah. Sad time.
It was really sad.
But London is so big. So I stopped going to this music school and Miranda continued
studying for like another 3 years.
Mm.
And that's when like we didn't hang out as much. But then when I finished, we started like meeting up again and saying, you know, like it would be really like cool to start writing together and start our own project, because we've always talked about it. And then I think when was it when we actually like decided, I think it was 2019, we started properly like working together and writing.
Yeah, and then working with Isaac.
And then
2020 we released our first single in September. Yeah. We were just like,
it was always our plan to release like in 2020. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then obviously the pandemic happened and we didn't want it to hold us back and we didn't want to be too precious about it, so we decided to start releasing anyway.
Yeah.
And all the songs you've released so far, those are going to be on an EP, right? There's an EP coming out.
Yes.
Ooh, how many songs are on the EP?
It's going to be six in total.
Wait, and how many have you released so far? How many unheard songs am I going to hear? Ooh. Okay, so there's a few there's a few surprises still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the main, you know, the four singles that we have, because we really like the idea as well to, you know, create the videos for them and every one of them having their own release kind of thing.
Right.
And collecting on this EP, basically.
Did you make
but
the
then
music?
We have two bonus tracks on there.
Did you make the music videos during the pandemic?
Yeah.
How was that?
So we both went home from London when it first started, when it had like the first lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we got time off work. We were furloughed. So we went to Sweden. She was in Falun, and I was like
up in the north.
Yeah.
And so we had our songs and we were like, we need to do something. We were like,
everything's been, you know, stopped here. We
didn't see each other.
We had so many plans what was going to happen. Right. And we were just like eating our fingers. We have to do something with this time as well, because normally we work so much here in London to be able to live here. So
yeah,
it was a great opportunity to actually have like full focus on Honey.
Yeah. So Magda actually took, I think I just asked her like super, like last minute. Yeah. Like, what do you think about like just coming up and we record a video?
Whoa.
So it started with one. So she came up once, took the train. No, first time.
The first time I went up there, I took, my dad was being like, oh, I want to do something. I hate this pandemic.
Yeah. And in Sweden, it wasn't as strict.
Yeah. There were recommendations that you shouldn't travel, you know,
two hours far,
from your home to another person's home. So it's kind of a secret because we were being a bit like, but we both stay in the forest. We never see anyone.
Right.
So my dad was so keen to go on this trip with me so I could, you know, do this music video with Miranda. So we drove up to her. It took us 10 hours from my home.
And that's when we recorded the first video for Gimme Love.
The
first release. So we did that one. She stayed for like
a week,
I think,
with my dad.
She went back home. And then, you know, we had these two other songs. And I was like, again.
Yeah.
I think it was like a month later or something.
Yeah,
I was
a
like,
month later.
What do you think about coming back?
We should do this.
Two more.
Yeah. So then I took the night train. And that was 14 hours. And you could choose if you want your own kind of little room where you can sleep. Or you can sit.
I don't have a lot of money, so
right.
I sat on that train like really uncomfortable trying to sleep 14 hours, but
that's
it
brutal.
Was so worth it though.
Yeah,
we got two videos done at that point, so it was amazing.
Oh, cool.
We work with Miranda's boyfriend. He's directing and editing the videos with us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That definitely...
he was with me in Sweden.
Right, and that definitely makes it easier because it's like making a video. Like I made one video, I think I made like two music videos during the pandemic, but like it was so difficult, like trying to follow guidelines and like
exactly.
I shot one video, most of it was in the fucking desert because we just didn't want to be around people, you know. So, but like you can do things that. There are ways to make it work, but it was so difficult. Trying. That's why I asked the question, because it was like, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, because you really need to rethink everything.
Right. And there's like, especially if it's like a pretty decent sized crew of people working on the video, like, you know, a lighting person, like all these different things, then it can get extra difficult and extra confusing. And there's a lot more planning and organizing. So, it's great. And I love that you guys released stuff in the pandemic. And I always tell people, I say this a lot in this podcast, but we should get credit because there's a lot of bands that didn't do anything. And there's a lot of bands that like bowed out and they're just like, whatever, I'm not going to release anything. I'm just going to lay low. But like, we just can't lay low.
Exactly.
Like, we have to put something out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we were thinking.
Yeah.
That's so cool though. That you have like, you can go to the desert and film a music video.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is insane.
It takes like a few hours, but like, you're in a forest. What's this forest? Tell me about the Swedish forest.
Yeah. No,
what's the story behind that?
Swedish forest, like, it kind of looks like a little troll forest.
Yeah, it looks like lots of little like rivers and
what do you call it? Like the pine trees.
Yeah.
Lots of pine trees.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, no, really miss the forest, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
You haven't been home in a year.
Mm.
Yeah, I haven't seen my family since July last year. So yeah, I really miss
the nature.
Miss the nature and the quiet. And
yeah, is London...
Yeah, Sweden is so quiet.
I've never been to London. Is it very loud like New York? New York, like... has that reputation of the city that never sleeps because it literally never fucking sleeps. It's loud all the time and I couldn't take it. I was like, I could never live here. But like, is London like that too, where it's loud all the time?
I mean, to be honest, not so much.
And as well, now it's like so simple to forget as well how it used to be because it hasn't been alive, you know, for over a year.
So and now it's starting to become a bit more alive.
Right.
But we also live kind of,
we obviously don't live in the center,
so it's a bit more chill.
Yeah,
where we are.
Yeah, around here.
Cool.
It's not really. I wouldn't think it's anything near New York, London.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No,
that's brutal.
No,
I mean I've never been, but you know.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. Yeah. have you heard anything about shows? Are shows starting to open up? Like, what's the word over there?
Don't really know.
I mean, there's a few.
We know a few gigs that are happening, but they're all like
everything socially distant.
Outside.
Yeah. And I think they're gonna get like the, you know, trying to do smaller concerts and making sure that people have a negative test and things. I think they've done that up in Liverpool.
Mm.
They had like thousands of people in a tent at a festival kind of thing, but I think it was like you had to show a proof that you had been
tested
negative.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah. Because I know in America, tours are already being announced, like, and like big shows, like very large shows and festivals are being announced. I'm like, I don't know. I'm nervous. Like, I just started DJing. Like, this is part of the transition, like getting back out there and like DJing and the bars are super empty and it's, you know, but there's people not wearing a mask.
Can you be inside?
Yeah, they can be inside.
Or is it outside?
It's inside.
And people not wearing masks.
Yeah, I don't know why not. That's stressing me out. But like, I'm wearing mine the whole time. Yeah. And people just need to stay far away from me. And that's basically.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine going into a room. It's so weird now how we're used to masks. Like if I'm watching a series or a movie, I'm like, oh my God, they're not having a mask on and they're in a room full of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's going to be strange when things
are
going back to normal.
That's happened a lot to me in the pandemic, like watching an old concert video or something on YouTube or something, or a live performance. I'm like, oh my God, all those people, they're all
they're
just
so
like,
close.
They're so close, they're just like breathing on each other, like, oh shit.
Yeah,
I know, and then someone's crowd surfing.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so something I've been thinking about with your project, and you know, is the tonality and just like the songs, they sound so much, and maybe your voices also remind me so much of ABBA, right? And I'm sure lots of people will talk to you too about ABBA in your career, in the interviews you guys do in the future, and you know,
you're the first one who said this.
I'm joking.
Right, so I'm just bringing it up. Like, is it, you know, they're Swedish, they're like a huge band, I'm sure, in Sweden. Yeah. Was there ever a fear that like of course you're from Sweden, of course you sound like ABBA, like is there like that, or are they so big it just doesn't matter? Because from my point of view, there, I don't know any other bands that sound like ABBA. Like, I got excited. I was like, whoa, they sound like ABBA. This is awesome. I started sending it to people. Yeah. I was like, yo, this sounds like ABBA. Like, check it out. Like, but is that like foreign to you? Is it like, yeah, of course we sound like ABBA. We are from Sweden and it's like more natural to that we would sound like this.
I don't know. It's as well that we are like, we're blonde or like,
right.
We're two girls. Yeah. From Sweden, obviously.
Like, but we also kind of have that thing, like we knew that when we sing together, it kind of has that sort of
blend.
Yeah, like sound. I can't tell who's singing and who's not singing.
We can't either.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're listening back to recordings,
and I'm like, oh man, oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, like that's me. And like, no, it isn't. And yeah, it's really tricky sometimes. We really have super similar voices.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess we always knew a little bit that it was similar to ABBA.
Yeah, and as well the style of the music obviously. Yeah.
Right.
We love ABBA as well.
We were maybe a little bit scared as well that people would just be like, oh, they're trying to rip off ABBA, which we don't want to.
Right.
No. But it's a huge compliment when people say as well that we do sound a bit like, or remind them of ABBA, you know.
And it's not a lot of bands like, you know, it sounds similar to ABBA. It's kind of,
I know,
it's a different thing, and I think we want to embrace it, but
yeah.
I was just trying to understand the relationship with ABBA being from Sweden versus America. Like, they're huge here, and but like, I'm trying to understand, like, is it different being from Sweden? Like, are they known as like, these are our legends. Like, what is the relationship in Sweden with ABBA?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like ABBA is like huge.
Yeah.
In Sweden.
But
it's also like, as soon as you like mention that you're from Sweden and you do music, it's like, oh, ABBA.
ABBA. Yeah. They're like the ambassadors of Swedish music.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, for sure.
That's wild. So you guys are prepared. You guys are prepared for everyone to mention ABBA to you.
Yeah, we were. And I mean, I guess the first video that we did as well for Give Me Love.
Yeah.
It is quite similar, like the style we made the video. I don't know if you've seen it.
But yeah.
It is a bit similar to like the way they would record a video, because we do love that with two girls and like the way they would shoot the videos. So we knew that we would kind of get that from the first video, especially.
Yeah, especially that song as well. It's very like ABBA. That was really like, oh wow, ABBA. And I think we toned it down a little bit after that.
Right. So you guys are writing songs with Isaac. Like, what's that process like? Can you take us through like sitting down and just like, is he showing you chords and you guys are writing melodies? Like, how's it working?
Usually, like, me and Magda usually, like, write demos together.
Yeah, ourselves. Come with an idea and write demos and an idea of the song.
And we send that to Ice. And then we take it from there. Like, we usually put down very, like, basic chords and our melodies and our lyrics.
Okay.
We take it to Ice. And
he helps us
produce it and arrange it to the style that we like.
Co-write. We also get Alicia in there sometimes, too. Very, very good with harmonies. We like to have her little touch as well. And
Yeah,
so that's usually like how it goes. We bring our ideas and then we tweak them and change them together with Ice. And
what do the demos sound like? Is it just you on a piano or what? Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's just like us on a guitar or a piano, very simple.
On the phone, voice memos.
Yeah.
And we do our like basic productions, like recorded demo as well.
Right.
It was interesting though with Summer Fling that we released now, and because this was a song that Miranda had made in her final year in school.
Oh.
Yeah, so I made it. I basically had this like last project and it's like the final project, like a creative project. And I had to work. It was kind of like I wanted to work with limitations. So my boyfriend had this old Tascam 4-track recorder.
Yeah.
So I wrote this song and then we recorded it on this Tascam, and I wrote Summer Fling with that. And then it's just been like laying around, very super simple song. And I showed it to Magda and she really liked it. And we showed it to Isaac as well, like a long time ago. And he was like, it's really cool.
We should do something with this.
Yeah.
And the demo is actually going to be on the EP as well.
Oh, good. That is my favorite song. I think that song is so good. And I want to hear that demo. I was just about to say, can I hear that demo? Because I want to see how it started and how it ended. Like, was it always going to be a dance track, or was the demo sound like?
It is kind of a dance track already.
It is kind of,
but okay. It is limited.
Like, it just like, it's really simple. It's just me like playing around. Like we did, like I did some like super like basic like drum loops and like piano little things that we recorded into the Tascam. So it's super simple, but it does have, it still has that same feel to it. It's just like enhanced by like a lot.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, totally.
You mean you didn't have that groovy bass and guitar that Isaac put down.
It was, really?
No, it was very, very stripped back, but it still had that feel to it. And like just Isaac's like guitar and the bass is like
so great.
So good.
Yeah. And
he took it to the next level.
Okay, so that song was kind of floating around for a while, like around your scene. How long had that song been kind of floating around?
I think ever since we started.
Yeah, like, it was the first song we were like, okay, we should definitely feature this one.
Right.
Because I love it. Like it's such a good tune. We should definitely have it. I can see it in there.
Yeah, so it was always there. But then, we started working on other tracks. And then we're like, let's just start on this one because we really want to do something with it.
Yeah.
But since the beginning, really. Like, it was one of the first tracks I think we showed Ice as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it feels like you guys, in a positive way, are, like, all over the place, right? Like, every single you put out so far kind of has a different sound and a different vibe.
Yeah.
Was that intentional? Like, we're going to do this? Or is it just like, here's a collection of the songs I've written so far, and they're all kind of different, but we could do it because we're a new band and we don't have, like, a solid sound? Like, but then again, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, you don't ever have to do that. You can always do that. That is your sound, is that you have no sound. Like,
I think we don't really want to limit ourselves as well of like putting us in a box. We just want to be like creative and feel free to do a little bit what we want.
We're
independent, nobody's telling us this is your style or this is how you should do things. Just being free and having fun. Like, I think that's most important, that we're really having fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's always going to, like, it still has that retro feel to all of our songs, but they still sound very, it's very different. Like, from Harry Met Sally to this song, it's like,
completely different.
But we just like trying out new things and having different sounds. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then so where in the process did Do It All Again come in? Is that like an older song? Is that like a newer song? Who wrote that one?
Do It All Again is a bit funny because I kind of just had this melody line from the verse that I just kept on like recording on my phone. And it was really weird because one night we were at Magda's place and Isaac was there as well. And I think we had shown it before, we were showing it then. And he was just like, let's write it now.
Yeah.
So based from that like little melody that we had on our phones,
we
just wrote everything.
We wrote everything in one night. When Isaac was laying down guitar, he was like, we're gonna do vocals after this. So girls, just go into your bedroom and you have 20 minutes, just write down lyrics. And we were like, okay, normally we don't work like this. It takes a few hours, as well do it together. But I don't know, there was something with that night as well. And
no, it was so much fun. It was really...
And that's the lyrics as well that you hear today and the vocals you hear.
Yeah, because we were always like, just put down something. We wanted to have, the vocals on the demo that we did. So he was like, okay, write the lyrics, come back, we record it,
and just to have it.
And I guess we were always thinking like, oh, we're gonna redo this, we're gonna do it better. We also tried at a later point to redo the vocals for Do It All Again, but we just couldn't. Like, it didn't.
There was something magical that night that was in the air.
And it just didn't sound as good, and we were just like, we just prefer like
how it sounds.
Yeah, we didn't know how to like perform it in a way that we feel like it can make it better.
Right.
There's something honest and true about.
Yeah. So the vocal they stayed.
Yeah. That's every time I listen to the song, it always brings me back to that night, which is really special.
Right.
For me.
Yeah. And the vocals are so great. That's something I tell bands all the time. Like, just if there's something, there's something magical about demo, it's because there is something magical. And you should keep it.
Yeah,
you shouldn't try and remake it because, you know, same thing when you make a take, when you record it like a guitar take or something. Like, if there's something there, there's something there. And you shouldn't try and like, oh, well, I could do it a little tighter. And then I can try and recreate that thing we liked. And it's like, no, that's never going to work. It's never going to be the same.
Nobody likes perfect, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I think about that all the time.
It's nice to have that. We're very big perfectionists, like everything we doing, but then at the same time it's like it's more real if it's not perfect.
Yeah. Totally.
It brings something to it.
And that perfection and the perfectionist, like when it comes to both of you singing at the same time, like does that come into play? Like, do you practice a lot singing both together, or do you guys already sing a lot together?
So weird, because like, I mean, I think from like when we started recording to where we are now, we haven't, it's just comes so naturally, everything we sing now, we just like have the same timing, like the way of phrasing things are just, it's just the same. It was a bit different, like, because we recorded it in a different way before, but now it's just like it's so natural, like the way we sing it. And I think most of the time we're very happy with how it sounds when we're both together and we sing it. It just creates a special sound.
No, I love we always have like a microphone in between us.
Just one microphone.
One microphone.
Oh, really?
And then I have to see Miranda's mouth, you know?
Yeah.
So we really like look into each other's eyes and we like really with the hands, you know?
Yeah. It's just so funny because I always like.
It's so intense though. Like, yeah. Really? It's really intense.
Oh my
There's
God.
There's always a few moments when I can't get over a line because I will just start laughing like crazy.
Because you realize all the like little silly things that you're doing while you're like singing, and then when you start noticing them, because we're really like trying to like
do
it together, like you do like all these things, and then when you
start thinking about it, it looks really silly, and I can't stop laughing. Like, it's super funny. Isaac, he I think he's a bit annoyed. No,
I'm sure he loves it.
When he's like 20 takes and I can't get over it.
Is that, is
you can like hear.
Is that how many vocal takes we're doing? Like up to 20, like to get it perfect?
No. I mean, that's only when I start laughing. Because I can't stop. We have to go on to another verse and come back to that later.
Because it's always like you can see it, like in the, like audio file when my dad like kind of starts giggling. So it's like, like you hear it.
You can hear me start smiling. You know?
Yeah, it's like I can see my dad like stop it or me.
But you never laugh. It's only me. It's always me.
I do sometimes, but then I'm like, okay, snap out of it.
Yeah, you can snap out of it really easily. I can't.
Wow.
No,
when you're staring.
No, but usually we just like.
When you're staring deeply into each other's eyes while recording a vocal take.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
It's hard not to. Like, it gets too.
Yeah,
too serious. Too
sometimes we have to
and then
put
the
on
songs are so deep. The songs are so like deep and meaningful. Like, I can only imagine you both singing "Do It All Again," just like staring directly into each other's eyes. Like, oh my God!
Oh, no, really, it is like that.
Wow. Oh. Are you right? Have you been writing a lot during the pandemic? Have you found the energy to write? Like, I've been talking to a lot of people. Some people aren't writing at all, but have you been able to find the inspiration?
We have. I mean, we've had a few like little patches here and there where we didn't feel motivated at all. But then we've had like moments where we like meet up like all the time.
Yeah.
Like before demos and
have an early start, breakfast, big coffee.
Right, big coffee, like, yeah.
Okay, let's do this. We have 3 songs to write today, and we try to do that.
Yeah.
Some days it works, some days it don't. But yeah, this winter was quite intense with the lockdown and the numbers here.
Yeah, because you couldn't really meet anyone. Like, we weren't really allowed to see each other.
Yeah, we had to, like, as well keep that a secret. Oh, I mean, wow. We work together and we live neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
that's good then. That's good that you guys are close.
We're together 24/7.
Literally 24/7. Oh. Magda is also like my boss, basically, as where we work.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's a nice power dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But Miranda's the boss of me.
Outside the coffee shop, who's the boss of who? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. So you wake up. You have this goal. We're gonna write 3 songs. Say coffee. What's a traditional Swedish breakfast? What can I eat here that will make me feel like I'm in Sweden?
Oh,
wow.
Well, it's always the coffee.
Coffee, yes.
Very important.
We eat, like, in Sweden, we eat sandwiches with the, like,
butter. You know, the open top sandwiches.
Oh,
open
okay, top okay, sandwich, yeah.
With butter, and then you have a cheese, then you have cucumber on, or, like, different types of toppings, to be honest. But I think that's or, like, caviar.
Yeah.
You know, like, the caviar?
That is on a little squeezy tube.
Isn't that egg?
Like everything in Sweden is on a tube.
Isn't
it's like we're ready for space.
Yeah.
Yeah, fish eggs. Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
It's smoked fish eggs. And we have that on sandwiches with like eggs and stuff.
And cheese. Really like, yeah, in Sweden, we love having sandwiches with literally
everything on.
Everything. Yeah. But just like one slice of bread and then just.
I mean, that's where smörgåsbord is from, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Smörgåsbord.
Smörgåsbord. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Smörgås is a sandwich in Swedish.
Yeah.
So then I guess, you know what? I think like I'm understanding the flavor profile, like in the sense of like a bagel with cream cheese and lox and like maybe cucumber, you know, it's like you get that smokiness, you get the freshness of the cucumber and then like a cheesy, like a cheese thing. So I understand it now. It's just in different cultures or in different places, it will be different, but ultimately it will still be the same principles of like a cheese, something fresh like cucumber, and then something smoky, like a smoked salmon for lox. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
And then we're crazy as well for our cinnamon buns and stuff like that.
The cinnamon on everything. Oh, yeah. I love that. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I love cinnamon. So then you guys have breakfast and then you try and write. Like, I think it's so important for people listening and for other artists to know that, like, even if you have a writing session, sometimes things don't come out and that's also okay. You're not always going to write a song just because you're in the same room together. Like, how do you guys deal with that? Was that something that was like maybe difficult for you to understand when you were younger, that like, oh, we didn't write anything. I felt like that was a waste of a day, because that was me when I was younger. Oh, I didn't write anything. Shit, like, what a waste. Like, how do you deal with, I guess, I don't want to call it like a loss, but like when something doesn't come out, how do you deal with that?
I mean, that's what I think as well is really good that we're 2, because if I'm having a really bad day or something, Miranda's always there to pick me up and vice versa. But we have days where it's like we both, maybe we didn't write so many good songs or we feel a bit sad about it, but then we always like try to pep talk ourselves into it again and be like, it's okay. Like, this is the whole thing. You can't write constantly good songs. You have to write a few shits as well.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't come out. Like, you just can't, it doesn't work. And I think that's when we're also like very good with each other to be like, you know, it's not going to happen today. Like, don't try to force anything.
Yeah.
Right. How do you pick which songs go on? How do you pick which songs go on the EP? How many did you guys have a lot of songs and then trim it down, or how do we come up with these 6 songs?
Well, really, I think the EP kind of came later, like, because we had these songs that we wrote, and our first, I think, goal was just to like release singles. We really wanted to release one single like every month.
Right.
And we never really thought that we would like do like a collection for everything, but then we just decided it would be nice to have a collection for the songs that we released. And then we had a few other songs as well that we, I guess, you know, always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, decided to like, it would be nice to showcase them as well. And yeah, like work on them a bit more and release them too. So it wasn't really, yeah, it wasn't really a plan first to just like kind of decide which ones to will go onto the EP.
Yeah. I see. And how many did you guys have to pick from?
I mean, it was kind of those songs we were working on at the moment. So we were just like,
this is what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we have, you know. It's very simple like that.
I love it.
Yeah. I thought they were really strong, you know, four singles, and they're totally very different. And like a presentation of what we are and what we can do and how we can sound, you know.
Yeah, it's given you, like, I always think of it as, like, giving you different avenues, like, different lanes. Like, I set these little seeds that will eventually build a path. Like, I can go this way if I want. Like, because there's one song on the first EP that was a little slower. That means I can do slower songs, like, versus having a one sound throughout the whole EP. And now it's like, okay, we can go this far. We could do a dance record if we want. Or we could do a slow, like, you know, When Harry Met Sally. We could do a record just like that. Or, like, we can go any way because you set the groundwork to allow yourself to do something like that. Or you could just make it, you know, keep making every song different because you've set the groundwork for that too. Like, I think it's very smart what you two did.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, yeah. I feel like we're very like spontaneous and like, you know, like if we have a song, we're just like really feeling it and we're just like, you know, we want to release this one.
Yeah.
Even if it might sound different, like, let's go for it.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
It seems like you two are, you know, like you said, perfectionists. You have a lot of plans. What are your plans post pandemic? Where do you see this project in the next year? 2022.
So after the EP, we have more things lined up after.
Yeah, like a few singles that we're going to release probably after the summer, I think. Yeah. Like late fall.
Yeah.
And
Late summer. early fall.
Yeah.
Early fall.
And music video is always important. We like to release, you know, a song with a music video.
Cool.
And
yeah, so, and we're also moving.
Oh.
We're moving away from London. We're moving to Italy.
Oh.
I know.
We're moving to Italy to be able to, yeah, just in short, like we want to work more on our project. So we're moving there with some friends.
Wow.
So we're going to continue working from there and hopefully, like, yeah, we're just gonna keep on releasing. And I think that's the way we like to go about it. Just like, we write music, we record it, and if there's something we really like, we're just gonna keep on like releasing things, and hopefully we can start playing as well.
Yeah 100%. I think that's the main goal, to like start playing live, because I'm really like missing that part.
Right.
I would really like to take our project live, you know.
Yeah.
And moving to Italy would give us the chance to, you know, we're gonna live together then, and you know, just write as much we can every single day, and just get lots of new material in and music videos and work from there.
So why Italy? Is it cheaper to live there? What city, like, where are we going?
We're going to a city called Parma. It's where like the
Parma ham
and Parmesan.
Right.
It's from. And we're going there.
Yeah, this. I mean, it's really random.
It's just super random.
Super random.
It is super random. After a year of pandemic, everyone is just like, oh,
craving something new,
and want to see something different as well. And
it is. I mean, it is cheaper. It's gonna be cheaper to like live there.
Right.
In our circumstances, like, we're going to live together with like my boyfriend and this other guy. So we're going to share a space together. And so hopefully it's going to be like cheaper for us, because like London, like we're working so much
all
in the cafe.
Time. Yeah.
All the time. So
to pay rent.
And, you know, just to be able to do what we want to do. And because all the money that we have now, we just spend on our project.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just more the time, because you have to spend so much time in London working and doing things that you don't really have the time for sometimes doing what you absolutely love to do. And I think that's what was really important for us then.
Right.
Yeah. This way we'll be able to spend more time on our project. Yeah.
Totally. I absolutely felt the same
but
way.
But it is really random that we're moving to Italy. It's because Miranda's boyfriend started the whole thing.
Yeah. My boyfriend started the whole thing.
Right.
He's from Italy, from Parma.
Oh, okay. he's from there. Okay. Yeah. Now yeah. I see what's going on here. I see it now. I see who instigated this whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. We're just like talking all over the place.
He also mixes our songs because he's a mixing engineer.
Cool.
But he also plays tennis and he's a tennis coach. So he's opening up a club there this summer.
Oh, awesome.
Together with, yeah, a tennis club. So
do either of you play tennis? You
know, I mean, we would like to do. Like, yeah. That probably could be a part of our image.
No, I mean, Marco is my boyfriend's name. He tries to like coach me all the time.
Yeah.
Like when we're in Sweden. Yeah. I love playing tennis, but it's such a like difficult sport to like just play when you're not very good.
I mean, I just play for the fun of it. Yeah. My technique is the worst, but I love ball sport. But yeah, so it's a bit random that we're moving there. But basically, Miranda was saying that to me last summer that she's moving, and I was really sad because I was like, "No, you can't leave me." And Miranda's been convincing me for 6 months, and then I gave in. I was like, "Whoa. Okay, we moved to Italy."
Whoa, why not, that's so wild.
She was really from the start. She was like, "No, I'm not gonna go."
How far is it from
but
London?
I was slowly getting
there. I mean, because it's like 1 hour away from Milan or Milano.
How long is this flight? Like maybe 1 hour, 2 hours?
1.5 hour, 2 hours, yeah.
Oh,
a flight from Milan to London. And when the pandemic is over, like there's a lot of flights every day.
Right.
From there. So, you know, London is still going to be really close to us and we want to come back as often as we can and try to organize, you know, some gigs or a tour eventually and things like that.
So it's probably like a 6 hour drive. I'm trying to think driving wise,
it's quite a long drive.
Oh,
I would say it's like 22 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, we would need to take the flight. Yeah.
Yeah, easily. Fly.
But there's cheap flights. I mean.
Yeah.
To come here like so cheap with like Ryanair.
Yeah.
Definitely when you come to. When you come to London and play, we are gonna take the flight and go.
Okay. Yeah,
because I mean we love you. Like your music is so
good.
So
we love it.
Oh, thank you.
We were playing that all day yesterday at the cafe.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we were putting on your record.
Yeah,
I love it.
On repeat.
You know what?
All day long.
It's weird. I feel like the record's doing better over there than it is over here. I don't know. I know a lot of people are enjoying the record, but like I feel like I'm always getting hit up from people in Europe, like people in France and in Paris, like, hey, love the record, just heard the record. Like, I'm like, okay, I gotta make my way over there. I feel like it's doing
you
better over there.
But your way over here.
Yeah.
I know. Hopefully soon. I don't know when.
Yeah, it's tricky now as well. But
you should come and play in Italy as well then when you're here.
I have to play in Italy. Yeah, absolutely.
Do a little Europe tour.
Yeah,
I know. And my cousin 100%. Lives. My cousin lives in Austria. I feel like I can do. I have to make my way over there at some point too. And like coming from America, I always forget like how small and how close everything kind of is. Like when I think of like traveling, like California is massive. And like to get from any place, it takes forever and you have to have a car and I'm driving all the time. Like, and I always forget some states and a bunch of countries are so close to each other. That would be the equivalent of the size of Texas. And I'm just like, Texas is a pain in the ass to fucking drive through.
Oh, wow. It's have you brutal. Done a lot of touring in all over America or?
Yeah, I've gone around the United States twice. I went around the United States twice in 2019. And
Amazing. Do you drive then or do you take flights? Or drive. How does that work?
The whole way. Drive. Yeah. You drive. We were gone for a month. So we did two different times a month each. So 2 months. And we just drove from each town to each town. You try and book shows like at least 5 hours apart. So every drive is like 5 hours. Sometimes you have a day off and then you drive for 20 hours. Like it's just.
Oh my God.
It's brutal. Yeah, but it's very fun. Yeah. And sometimes you play a Wednesday night in a random town and it's not fun. But then you get there on the weekends and you're in the big city on the weekends and it all makes sense. And you understand why you're doing it. But then Monday, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday can be very rough on the road. Sundays too. Sundays can be rough too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you the one driving or have you got someone driving you?
Oh, yeah, it's usually me or somebody else in the band. Like, I have pretty bad motion sickness, so I prefer to drive, or I'm in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at usually.
No, I would be the same. I also have really bad, like, motion sickness.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine, like, being on tour must be, like, it's difficult.
Yeah, especially.
Especially, like, America is huge.
It's massive. Yeah. And there's just nothing. You know, you live in a big city, you go to LA, you go to New York, and you're like, wow, there's so many people, there's so much things to do. But then you like leave that area.
Yeah.
And then there's just desert and nothing for the most of the middle of America. There's just nothing. And except if you go to Chicago or, you know, any of these big cities that you'll find people and you'll find things to do. But like, yeah, I think that's like that was like a big thing at the beginning of the pandemic. People like reevaluating their lives and like, is there a cheaper place in America I can go to? That's just like more affordable, like, you know, paying $1,800 for rent in Santa Barbara can get you a full house, can get you a multi-bed house. Like if you just drive east into the desert and you can get a nice, big, beautiful house for the same price. I think that's part of it. I think that was part of everyone's journey of like reevaluating your life. As you guys said, you're going to go to Italy. Like I think that happened everywhere. And I think everyone had like a moment of like, should I be here? Like, do I have to be here? And with the way the internet is and the music industry and the internet, you don't have to be in a big city. Yeah. You don't have to be in, you just have to grind hard and put a lot of music out and things may happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
100%, 100%. How is the music scene in Santa Barbara?
Oh, it's tough. Yeah, I know some of the venues have announced shows and things are going to start opening up again. And there are some great bands here. And I hate to just blanket it by saying, oh, it's not very good, because that's just such a stereotype that it hasn't been good since the 90s. Like, you know, but like there aren't that many places to play. There's like one or two venues and there's lots of great bands. So it's not a matter of talent. It's just a matter of opportunity. And the second part is getting people to come to the shows. That's almost equally as hard, because there is the beach, there is things to do, there's restaurants. It's like, why would I go to a show? Like, I can be doing anything else. Like, so that is also a struggle. And then people think because we have a college. What happened?
Have you got any shows lined up?
No,
soon
nothing.
Or
no, nothing yet. I don't know. I'm waiting to hear about shows. I don't know if it's gonna happen. I'm ready. If it happens, I'll be ready. I got my vaccine. I think I'm ready. I don't know. I'm scared to DJ, so I don't know what it's gonna be like to be at a show and there's like nobody at the bar when I'm DJing. But I don't know. I'm nervous about
what kind
the
of
show.
Music do you DJ?
I'll DJ a lot of a lot of like 60s and 70s soul, disco, and then 80s, which would be like, you know, some boogie, some funk, some old school. That would be, I guess they call it old school here. But like,
That's awesome.
Earth, Wind & Fire, Donna Summer, like a bunch of stuff like that. Yeah, I love it.
Is it like club scenes or is it more like pubs or like?
Yeah, this.
Where do you?
The place I DJ at is like. I guess it's more of just like a club. No, not less of a club, but more of like a bar. It has a restaurant, and it has hard liquor and beer, and it's really good. But there are other clubs. Like, I don't do well in the club because I don't play like new music, and at the clubs they really want new music, and I just don't know anything really about new music. I hear about songs
I will prefer your.
I hear about songs like six months late. Like, I'm like, oh, this song is really great. And everyone's just like, yeah, this song's been out for like a year. I'm like, oh, it's so good. Like, that's how slow I am with new music. Like, what about you? What are you two listening to right now? Like, when you're just at home relaxing, or what have you been listening to?
Oh, it's a big mix.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been listening a lot this year to like Lemon Twigs.
Right.
Yeah.
And Wise Blood, love that. But then well, like, you know, lots of things from the 70s and 80s. Like,
then just listening to like Dua Lipa and, you know.
Right. Her new record's great.
No, it is really good.
It's really good. But yeah, it's just like a big mix of
everything.
Right. Yeah, I would say.
How much do you think you take
in? I go crazy for one person at a time, and then I just
listen to that
on repeat. Like, I can listen to a song 1,000 times on repeat, and then I move on to the next, or come back again.
How much do you think influences you when you're writing, or do you feel like a lot of your influences are coming from your music you listened to as a child?
Yeah, I would say so.
You would say it's more of the music you listen to now, or the music you listen to then?
No, when we were
younger. Like, yeah. Mm. I mean, also like what's coming up now is like what our parents used to listen to a lot. Like,
right.
You really like now you really listen to that a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think that's really influenced us, like how we want to write.
Yeah. I would be like listening to an ELO track, and I would go to Miranda like, oh, we should write a song like this.
Yeah, totally.
And we really do that. Like, we found one song and they're like, we need to write something.
Yeah, we need to write something like this. Or like a Cardigan song. It's always been we need to write a Love Fool. That's been our main goal. I think that has been our main goal since we started. We always said, we have to write a Love Fool.
Totally. And it's like not necessarily even the song, it's the feeling of a Love Fool. Like that feeling. Like, my song has always been The Laws, There She Goes. Like, I've always tried to get that feeling. That song is so pretty, and it's just like, it just moves. There's no fat. It's just like moving. No chorus, really. Is there a chorus to that song? Like, I don't know. Like, that's always been my point. Like, oh, can I write a song as good as that? And then, you know, hopefully you fall somewhere below, you know. But yeah, Love Fool.
It's good that you always have something to strive for.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, Love Fool. Any Carpenters. I love the Carpenters. That's like one of my Carpenters. Favorites. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that has been on repeat at mine the last 2 months.
Have you listened to Karen Carpenter's solo album?
Solo album? No.
I don't think so, actually.
Yeah. No. So here's the story behind the solo album is that she recorded it in 1979. And then her brother, Richard Carpenter, told her not to put it out because he thought it was too sexy. It was like, you know, all the songs are about like sex and like it's a disco record. She wrote a lot of the songs with Rob Temperton, who wrote songs for Michael Jackson. And Quincy Jones even suggested she needs to put this record out. So her brother said no.
Yeah.
And they didn't put it out until after she died. And it's fucking awesome. I found it at a thrift store. I was like, Karen Carpenter? I didn't know she had a solo record. And then I listened to it. I was like, now I'm obsessed with it. And I tell everyone about it. It's so good.
Amazing. Well, that's going to be my on repeat.
Yeah.
Tomorrow when we work, we're going to have to
go. Yes.
I'll send it to you. It's very cool. There's like some disco stuff, and then there's some like other song stuff, and I think she does a cover on it too. But she sounds great on it. And
The disco, very
pretty wild. It's pretty wild. I'm obsessed. And it's not on vinyl. I really want them to release it on vinyl, but they probably won't because you know her brother is still alive, and he probably doesn't want it on vinyl. But I do.
No.
Yeah. What else? What else is there to say? What else is going on? You're leaving to Italy. Maybe we'll play some shows in 2022. Working on new songs. In August, when you drop these new singles, are they already recorded or are we going into the studio soon?
They're already recorded.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're just sending our first one of them to mastering. So we're actually doing a video this yeah, next weekend. We're doing the video for the next one of the EP.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Exciting stuff. Yeah. We're really excited for that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really good.
Ooh, it's a different vibe yet again. It's really nice.
Can we get any ideas, any sneak peeks? Like, is it a ballad? Is it another dance song? Where are we?
Well, it's not a ballad.
It's not a ballad, okay. But it's a bit more like slow tempo, but
it's a little bit like a little bit Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
A little bit Fleetwood Mac. Yeah.
Someone said that listen to it. It's like roller skating or like rollerblading. Yeah. On Venice Beach.
There you go. I'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even like I sent it to my sister and she was just like, it feels like from a James Bond movie, like you could be there. Like that kind of feel to it. Mm. So
cool.
Yeah, it's
a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, we will be ready. I will be ready for when it comes out. I will listen to it and
Oh, thank you.
Are you
very excited?
Are either of you on TikTok yet? Have you posted any of your music on TikTok?
We have. We are on TikTok.
Oh. Yeah,
TikTok is it's a
tricky one. Like,
it's a tricky world.
Like, like a dinosaur. Like,
we're not young anymore. It's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah. It will make you feel very old. TikTok? Yeah. I got on it like December of like 2019, I think. I just figured I was like, this is going to be good for musicians and I just got on it really quick. I didn't really post a lot though until like the pandemic started. And then I figured it out. I was like, oh, okay.
Amazing.
I have these music videos. I can clip them into little 30 seconds and just drop them. And hopefully it picks up steam and it can get views versus like Instagram where I drop something on Instagram and like only a percentage of my followers see it. TikTok gives you this opportunity to have like strangers find you, which is good and bad because there's strangers who see you and then you get like negative comments. I don't know. That's also my experience too.
We'll follow you on.
Yeah, I'll follow you back on TikTok. Yeah.
No, we have it and we have posted like, trying out like videos posted there.
Right.
Little snippets, but we're trying to figure it out. Like, what's the best way to go about it?
is a label going to release this EP or is it going to be completely self-released?
It is self-released.
Self-released.
But we are working together with what would you call it? It's like a regional, like Dollapop and Bellapop.
Yeah,
it's difficult to explain, but we are working together with.
They are kind of like a little label or.
Cool.
They're kind of a label.
It's my region and Miranda's region in Sweden that has got together to collaborate and support us, but not as a label, but they're giving us
They're sponsoring us to be able to marketing and...
Cool.
Which is really... Yeah,
oh, that's awesome. But they're not going to actually... make any of the EPs physical. What I'm asking is that I want to buy the EP. how will I buy it? How will I hold it?
We want to make something, like a vinyl or CD.
We really want to do that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hopefully
ultimately, that's what I'm asking is I would like to purchase and have my own copy.
It's so hard to explain as well what they are.
Yeah, totally. I think, I don't know.
We want to do that.
I think streaming is great. It's fun, but like there's still something about having the record that feels more real. But does it? I don't know. Yeah. Now I'm like battling with the idea. I did another podcast with somebody else where it was like, does your music need to be on vinyl for it to feel real? I don't know. Part of it does. Maybe it's just because I'm old and I want to feel it. But I've done digital releases and it's fine. But it's still very real. Your songs are obviously very real. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
It just kind of brings you back like to when you were little and you were like actually buying a record or like a CD.
Yeah.
It just feels different.
Yeah. And and we would love to have our EP on a vinyl or CD.
Yeah, totally.
That would be really...
You just listen, I guess, in a different way. Like, if you buy a vinyl, you listen to the whole thing. You know, you properly, like, have to sit down, like you listen to it.
Yeah, there's like a ritual. Like
with streaming, you can kind of, exactly. With streaming, you can like pick and choose a bit more, and it's kind of, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing as well of like, it doesn't come in the order when you, if you have the shuffle on and stuff.
Right.
Really annoying.
That bothers me too, because I never click that, but it turns on for some reason.
Yes, I know.
So annoying.
Spotify's very glitchy like that. Like, yeah, I don't know. I never click on shuffle, but then it's on, because I get it. They probably, most people probably like shuffle. Like, you know, your average music listener is just listening to random music, but like, I'm not. I'm listening to the album straight to, from start to finish. I want to get a feel, especially a feel of the track listing. Like, this goes first, and then okay,
it's supposed to be in that order.
Yeah.
That's how you're gonna listen to it. Yeah.
Same thing with the set list when you're playing live. Like, okay, we start with this song, and it should flow, and it should end with this song, and
It's the whole song behind it.
There's always some strategy behind it too. Like when we used to open for bigger bands and we're just like, well, no one's going to be here for our first song. They're all going to show up at the end. So we would save all of our best songs to the end. Like, I miss doing that.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes. The old days of doing that. Yeah.
The old days.
Yeah. Of like, you know, they put you on first. And so it's like 8 o'clock, like the doors are opening and you're supposed to go on. It's like, I don't know. It's just so dumb. Some of the old shows I played like in the early 2010s of like, the doors are about to open, but you go on as soon as the doors open, which makes no sense. Like, let people come in and then like maybe three people walk through the door and you're like starting. You're like, shit, dude. That's part of the fun, I guess. That's part of the joy of like.
Yeah.
Eating shit. Oh, you have to eat shit. You know? Yeah. That's what I miss. Eating the shit on stage. Like that's what I miss.
Is it a sunny day at yours, or
it's actually super cloudy today. Yeah. Very nice actually. I'll take it. I love cloudy days. It's because I have so few of them that I love cloudy days.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah. It should be like so bad weather here.
Oh my god.
Really?
Yeah, it's been cold. Like now it's supposed to be getting warmer, but it's
cold and it's raining. And it was a thunderstorm the other day, but it was like 5 degrees. I don't know.
But actually today is like the first day when it's actually been feeling quite a bit warmer. Yeah. Still cloudy, but like it's warmer.
Super great.
We're being hopeful.
That's awesome. I love it.
Hopefully Italy will give us a bit more.
Provide the nice weather.
Yeah, it will, right? Like, I've never been to Italy. I'm assuming it will. I think it will be nice, like, all the time, right?
Yeah, like, the summers will be
really, really warm.
Really crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably really hot, too. That's, like, the plus and minus. It's going to get freaking hot. Hmm.
Yeah.
Does it get really hot in London during summer?
It can be.
Yeah?
It can be. Like, but it's really like when it is really hot, it's so like you have nowhere to go.
Right.
You know, like you can't just go to the beach. You can't. Yeah. It's just like, you don't, but still we miss it. Like now we really, really miss it, but it can get really, really, really hot.
That's awesome. Okay. We can start wrapping it up. We've been talking for a while now. What's the best way to support your band, Honey, in this moment?
Go and stream our music. Give us a follow. On Spotify and Instagram and
YouTube.
And
share music and YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that's the best thing.
Awesome. Hey, well, hey, thanks so much for talking, and I hope you ladies have a good Sunday, the rest of your Sunday, as I'm starting mine.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah.
Thanks
nice to talk to you too.
A little chat with us. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And get,
enjoy your day.
Get Summer Fling on vinyl, even if it's just a 7-inch. I will buy it. I want to DJ that song. It is so good.
We will create one for you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just need 1/7-inch. Okay, cool. Talk to you guys soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye.